Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial star star RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
So Yankee fans, and a lot of Yankee fans, not all, but a lot of Yankee fans were very concerned about this series against the Twins. We're very worried about what the Twins brought to the table and what they could do to the Yankees. And again, this is not a knock on the Minnesota Twins. They are not in the same class as the Yankees. They're just not. Their pitching is not. Offensively, as good as they are, they're not the Yankees. The Yankees are a better team. Yankees are the second best team, in my mind, in baseball. And you saw it last night, and there was a lot of, was it right to go with Paxton? It didn't matter. Honestly, it didn't matter who you started in that game last night. Why? Because you put up 10 runs. You put up 10 runs, you're winning unless your starting pitcher is an unmitigated disaster. So, Paxton wasn't great by any stretch, right? Home run in the first, down 1-0, but he was fine. He was serviceable, but anybody would have been fine. Tanaka would have been fine. Paxton was fine. Severino would be fine. I mean, unless you go out and you allow 5 runs in the first 2 innings, just go out there, be fine, and you're going to be fine. And that's what you saw from the Yankees last night, offensively, and the Twins' bullpen. You know, I hear, well, it's a good bullpen. They're not good. It's not what the Yankees have. I mean, they go to the pen, this Yankees farmhand Little comes in, who was a former Yankees farmhand, he comes in, walk, he looked like he didn't know where the strike zone was. Walk, hit batsman, and that's it. Then Duffy comes in, then Stashek comes in, and it completely falls apart. So you know, the Yankees, the big hit for me last night was the Torres shot down the left field line, which actually went off the glove of Miguel Sano, who I thought actually played third base better than I anticipated him playing third base, but still, the Yankees are very talented. And you saw that last night. I mean, when Judge is healthy and Judge is right, he is a top 5 player in baseball. And defensively, he's terrific. And you saw it last night. He made a couple of plays in right field, which were just really, really nice plays. And that's the kind of player he is. That's the kind of team this is. Yankees are very good. And you saw it last night. I mean, and I know it's one game in, there is no way the Yankees are not winning this series against the Minnesota Twins. Minnesota does not match up with the Yankees. Minnesota, do you know where they're going? I had to write it down because I didn't know this man existed before they named him the starting pitcher for the game tonight, which you can hear 5 o'clock on 1050 ESPN on the AM side of things. Randy Dobnik will start for Minnesota tonight. And you're probably sitting in the car driving, you know, your kids to the games or doing a little shopping or whatever you're doing, picking up the cleaning. And you turn to the person next to you and say, Randy Dobnik. Well, that's right. Randy Dobnik will be on the mound for Minnesota tonight. Randy Dobnik, who has 9 appearances in the majors, 3 starts in Major League Baseball. And his starts have been good and his numbers aren't bad, but this is where you're going? I think about that for a second. Season on the line. Backs up against the wall. And Rocco Baldelli says, all right, Randy. Randy Dobnik, this is you. Your time to shine. And people have said, well, he's good. He's started 3 games. You don't know if he's any good. You don't know what he is. Yankee Stadium. Imagine that. Yankee Stadium. Frigid night. And it's going to be cold out there tonight. Tanaka on the other side of the mound. 50,000 screaming Yankee fans. And Minnesota is in position where they feel their best option is a guy, and this is not an exaggeration, who is driving Uber in the offseason. Did you see this story? He's an Uber driver in the offseason, and apparently his rating is terrific. Like, if you're in the Minnesota area and you need a ride, go to Randy Dobnik, because his rating on Uber, 4.99. So it doesn't get better than that. Now, is Dobnik a 4.99 out of 5 stars pitcher? We'll find out tonight. But I'll tell you one thing. If this kid goes out there tonight and gives you a big-time performance with everything that we just said, then hats off to him. But it's hard to believe that the Yankees are not going to easily win this series. The Twins have lost 14 consecutive playoff games right now. 14! I mean, that's just unheard of. And 11 now are to the Yankees. So you might say it's a different Twins team. And again, the Twins are not bad. They're not. They're fine. But they're not a special team. I mean, the starting pitcher last night was nothing. Right? He was, I used to call him Berrios. Now I hear everyone calling him Berrios. However you say his name, he's their ace. He's as good as it gets. Threw 100 pitches in what, four innings last night. Now the defense let him down. You're crowing, you got to make that play at first base. Right? You have to. You got to scoop that. The Yankees are the better team. And that's what you saw last night. And that's what I think you'll continue to see. And you'll see Yankees Astros. And again, not to sleep on Minnesota because they're not a bad team, but they're not the Yankees. Yankees are good. And this lineup is long. When you look at this Yankees lineup, and I'll say one thing. DJ LeMahieu might be one of the great signings in this franchise history. I mean, you're paying him nothing. He's a big time player. Outside of that drop at first base, which I'm sure Yankee fans were apoplectic when he dropped that one. But the lineup, you look at this lineup and you see it, like in a game like last night, how good Aaron Judge is. He's so good. And I didn't even think Encarnacion, when they first made the trade, would be on the playoff roster. He's batting fourth. And he looked good. Right? There was a lot of concerns about, well, what's Encarnacion going to be? He hasn't played in the better part of a month. Hasn't taken an at-bat in the major leagues. First at-bat, base hit. Next at-bat, base hit. So he looks terrific. Stanton, I tweeted last night, and I stand by this. Stanton's first at-bat was at runners on second and third. 3-0 count. Swings away fine. Little dribbler. Sano makes the play, throws him out, they go to replay. But then he walks, I think, what, three times after that? I need Stanton, and the Yankees will need Stanton to produce at some point in this postseason. But Torres, and that at-bat from Torres was terrific because he fouled off a couple of really good pitches. Comes up with the big hit, couple runs score. You want to have, I mean, honestly, if you're a Yankees fan, you say this, what concerns are there right now? I mean, you see what you need from your starting pitching. If your starting pitching is mediocre in this series, now in the next series, it's going to have to be better. But in this series, if you get five innings or 4 2/3 of three-run ball, odds are you're going to win. And that's what you saw last night. They won going away. Now, honestly, I don't know why they went with Chapman. Because you got to figure you're going to want Chapman again today. And he was on pace, it felt like, for 30 pitches. Now, he threw 18. And I guess Boone and company certainly know more than me. But I was a little perplexed why they went with Chapman in the ninth inning with a 6-run lead. But doesn't matter. You walk away, nice, tidy win, very little stressful moments. It's October baseball. And you're the Yankees. And this is what you do. 800-919-3776. So let's incorporate a lot of Yankees fans right off the top of the show. You know what we do. It's Saturday mornings, right? So 9:45, we do the Frenzy. 10:30, Stump Rothenberg. 11 o'clock, RJ Bell. Oh, there's a lot to cover and a lot of baseball. And you know why? And this is such an interesting point. Why regular season, you look at things, you say, God, the Mets have Lugo. They have nothing else besides Lugo. Diaz was a disaster and maybe Justin Wilson at some point, but they have so little in the bullpen. But if you get to the postseason, like the Nats, and you look at their bullpen, and you say, you don't like it, but you know what? You get 7 innings from a starter, or 6 innings from a starter, and then where'd they go last night? And if you don't know, because it was late last night, they went Scherzer in the 8th. Max Scherzer, who pitched the day before, went out and gave you an inning. So it's a different animal. It's all hands on deck when you sit here and you get to the postseason. Astros are great. Verlander was unbelievable again. You see what the Astros odds are today, by the way? Like, you don't have to be a gambler or not. But, to be a minus, they're minus 300. So they're 3-1 odds to win this game today with Gerrit Cole on the mound at home. Those are odds when you're playing a team that's not very good. They're playing the Rays with Snell on the mound, who won the Cy Young in the AL last year. And they're prohibitive favorites. That is a great team. But Braves bounce back. They win a game. Yankees win comfortably last night. Dodgers lose. They're now 1-1. And the Nats are a scary team. So, and the Astros, of course, and comfortably win. Yankees go to the pen a bunch. We figured they would. Ottavino faced one batter. One batter walked him. He was done. Then Canely comes in. Was not great by any stretch, but good enough. Then they go Green, Britton, Happ, Chapman, and that's going to be the recipe. If the Yankees' pen is special this postseason, they're going to be a very tough out. Paxton was, he was fine. He wasn't great. He wasn't awful. He was fine. Against the Twins, that's going to be enough. Against the Astros, it probably won't be.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
It's 800-919-3776. So there you have it, Yankees fans. Nice and tidy last night. I get a text from my buddy, though. He says, you know, you're not giving Paxton enough credit. He was pretty good. He went 4 2/3 of three-run baseball. He was fine. He was nothing more than that. I mean, he didn't wet the bed. He wasn't dreadful. He didn't allow 7 runs in an inning and 2/3. But good? He was not good. If I told you going into that game last night, you'd get 4 2/3 from James Paxton and 3 runs. You'd say, no, you wouldn't sign for that. You wouldn't sign for it tonight either. You want better than that. Now, he wasn't awful, right? I mean, he didn't leave the game and you said we have to have a rousing comeback. But to say he was good, I think is a far cry from what he in fact was. And again, you know, I got a tweet, you know, you're disrespecting Randy Dubnyk. I'm not disrespecting him at all. Just saying, imagine if the scenarios were reversed and the Yankees were down 1-0 on the road in Minnesota and their season was on the brink and they decided to go with their version of Randy Dubnyk. You'd be apoplectic about it. So that's where you are. He started 3 games. Now, they were good. September 15th, they were at Cleveland. He went 5 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run. Next time out against Kansas City, 5 1/3, 3 hits, 1 earned run, walked 2, got the win. And then on the road in Detroit, you know the power that the Tigers were this year. 6 innings, 1 hit, 1 run, unearned, got the win. That's it. He started 3 games, and he gave you no more than 6 innings. So if you're a Twins fan, what are you hoping for from Dubnyk tonight? 4 2/3 of 3 runs, like James Paxton, right? That's what you'd hope. All right, well, let's go to the calls. 800-919-3776. Randy in West New York. Randy, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how's it going, Dave? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, Randy. What's on your mind, buddy?
Man, I'm excited. I was at that game yesterday, and I kind of wanted to call in today to see how the city, how everyone was talking about the game, and everyone before it was nervous. Everyone's like, oh, my God, the Twins, what are they going to do?
I don't know why. Again, they're not a bad baseball team. They won 100 games.
They're not.
They are nothing that's concerning.
It's kind of funny, right?
Well, I mean, I got Rick and Chris telling me, and Rick's saying the Twins are really good, and Chris is saying I'm so nervous. I'm sitting there thinking, why? Not because of past history, not because of what the Yankees did to the Twins a decade ago, just because of what they are now. I don't think they're anything special.
And again, like you touched, Randy Dubnyk. My name's Randy Reyes, but I think I may have a better chance to throw that game tonight for the Twins.
I don't know what's going on. Disrespectful to him, but I mean, let's be fair. I mean,
it's like us throwing Chance Adams.
Call Randy, and yes, the city is very excited about the Yankees. Very excited, and you should be very excited. And we've got all the Yankees games either on 98.7 ESPN or on 10:50 a.m. So this is one stop shopping for everyone. And tonight will be on 10:50 a.m., starting at 5 o'clock, first pitch 5 o'clock. And by the way, and again, it's postseason baseball, so all bets go out the window. But 4 hours and 15 minutes? Thank God that game started at 7:10. You know what time the game starts on Monday? Mish, you have any idea what time the game starts on Monday? Give you one guess. Well after Monday Night Football. 8:40. Monday night. 8:40. So if you get 4 hours plus on Monday night, you're looking at 1 a.m. That's just, it's late. Last night went to, what, 11:20? It's 4. I mean, there were stretches where it was just monotonous. I understand. I mean, I like baseball. I mean, 7th inning, Yankees up by 5 runs last night. You can look for other things to do. You can have the Yankees on as the primary thing and then find some background music. Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, Mr. Dave Rothenberg, my friend. A couple of observations in the game. I called early and told Gordon, so it's a different audience, I assume, to some extent. The defense that the Yankees have, plus the bullpen, is as important as the starting pitching and the hitting. Because Minnesota, the kid at third, Sano is his name?
Yeah.
He got that throw he made to first. You got to make that catch at first base. LeMayu showed a little flaw yesterday.
He dropped a pop.
Yeah, and then he comes back.
And it cost you nothing.
That's a steal. They stole this guy. This guy, not only does he play three positions, he may be a little better at second. I guess he predominantly played that in Colorado. But you got to sell a batting ninth. And they're all. I'm getting messages from guys, Brett Gardner's batting third. I said, Brett Gardner will not be nervous. He'll foul off pitches. He'll size up the pitcher. And who knows what he'll do. We know his defense is terrific. Man, am I proud of Brett Gardner at 35, 36 years old. Nothing bothers him. And they got him cheap.
He was supposed to be a platoon player this year. Spike Gardner was not supposed to even be involved with this team.
I understand that. They signed CeCe and Gardner to solidify the clubhouse, I hear. But the CeCe, I understand. He's 38, 39. His knee's shot. He gave him a couple of good games. He's a good guy. Everybody loves CeCe. We're all pulling for him. But he didn't belong on the roster the way it's set up.
Well, I don't know that that's true. I think the intent was for him to be on the roster. I think his shoulder is giving him troubles right now.
Well, the other guy went down. You see, they had the Yankees. I don't know if Cashman's not the executive of the year, then it's such an anti-Yankee bias, it's ridiculous. But one last thing, and thanks for the time. Always great to talk to my friend. Kershaw, he reminds me almost. Now, Seaver wasn't quite as bad in the postseason, but they were both pitchers of their time when they pitched. I don't know how much you saw of Seaver. Probably enough.
I didn't see great Seaver.
Okay.
I saw good Seaver.
Well, I'm telling you, Seaver, you know this is a fact. I don't have to tell you. Seaver and Kershaw were both the best pitchers in their generations. It's not even arguable. And they both, in the postseason, they were just good pitchers. When you got other guys that usurped their performances. I thought Paxton pitched fine. I really did. The umpiring, I said this also. If Tanaka gets a decent umpire, the umpire last night was consistent. If he gets a good low ball umpire, this team won't do much. It'll be one or two runs in five or six innings. And I think Tanaka's under two in his ERA in postseason.
I don't think, Spike, and thanks for the call, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I really don't. I mean, what is there to worry about? You're home. You're better than them. The starting pitching matchup goes in your favor. I mean, it's not even comparable. What your bullpen is better than them. What is there to be concerned about right now? I don't understand, honestly, why there was this whole, like, oh, God, the Twins are coming. What will we ever do? The Twins, the big, scary Minnesota. They had a lot of home runs. They're a decent team. They're fine. If you rank the teams in the American League, are they one? No. Are they two? No. Are they three? Probably not. Are they four? I don't know. Could they be five? They could be. I mean, I would much rather face the Twins than the Oakland A's. I'd much rather face the Twins than the Tampa Bay Rays. And you could argue you'd rather face the Twins than the Indians. Now, you could argue this is the easiest matchup the Yankees could have gotten in the first round of the postseason. But everyone was all worried about this team. And now I think that goes away pretty quickly. Steve in Bayport. Steve, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Jay, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say that I think the only way Yankee fans are going to warm up to Stanton if he has some, like, signature moment in these playoffs, because other than that, I don't know why he's swinging 3-0 last night. It wasn't like it was a fastball down the middle. It wasn't even in the strike zone.
He should be able to have the green light on 3-0 with guys on base. He should be able to.
I don't know. Yankee fans, we really don't even want him on the team.
Well, you know what? I understand that. But 3-0, he's batting fifth. He hit 59 home runs. He's a prolific 40 home run hitter every single season. You don't have the green light 3-0?
But do you think that was a good pitch to swing on? It wasn't even in the strike zone.
No, I don't think it was a good pitch. I think he's a little anxious. Look, I don't love him either. But to blame a guy who you have big expectations for being one of your best hitters that you can't hit 3-0, I just think is unfair.
Oh, I think he should hit 3-0, but I think it should be a strike.
Well, I'm sure he's not thrilled that he swung at that pitch.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you, Dave.
I mean, you guys are unbelievable. You win 10-4. You dominate the Twins. You feel great about the series. Your bullpen was completely lights out. And you didn't like what Stanton did. He went 0 for 1. He walked three times. He was on base almost every time. And he actually had some decent cuts. Look, some guys you're going to love, some guys you're not. And the Yankees fans cannot wrap their heads around Giancarlo Stanton. They just can't. They won't. You're right, though. He needs a moment. And I don't know. And the sooner he gets that moment, the better for him.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Josh Allen has cleared concussion protocol, will play tomorrow on the road in Tennessee. So I took the Titans in our picks this week. I don't feel as confident now that Allen will play, but not terrible either. I don't think he's great by any stretch, but this is going to continue to happen to him. He's got to figure out a way to not take the punishment that he continues to take week after week after week. But let's stay with the Yankees for now. We'll do a football frenzy in about 10 minutes. So we'll get there. Any of your NFL questions, none of your fantasy questions, because nobody's interested in your fantasy team. But we'll get to as many NFL questions as we can in a couple minutes. We continue with the Yankees, up 1-0, Tanaka on the mound, Dobnik on the mound on the other side. You're feeling good. You're feeling real good if you're a Yankees fan right now. Let's go to John in Secaucus. John, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for taking my call.
What's up today?
I don't think we have a problem. I was never concerned about Minnesota. I mean, not just because of the past, just because you're right. We just have a generally overall better team.
Where would you say that, first of all, they don't have any player that you look at you're terrified of? Second of all,
No. Is
there anywhere on the Twins that you look and you say they're better than the Yankees? Defense? Not starting pitching, not the bullpen, nowhere.
No, just the lineup a little bit, but not even that much. But my biggest concern, believe it or not, and I didn't even know this pitcher was pitching tonight, Yankee fans don't remember, the Yankees don't do well against people that haven't seen them, you know, these new guys come up. But anyway, I think we'll be okay, and if Stevie stays healthy and we get out of this series healthy, I think we're going to be okay against Houston. The pressure's on them, not us. But Dave,
That's not true. I mean, there is pressure on them, but there's always pressure on the Yankees, John.
Yeah, I know. But Dave, I got this question I've been meaning to ask you for so long, so please let me get it in. When you're on with RJ Bell, can you please ask him what he thinks about football teasers? Because everyone does bets with parlays and everything, but he never brings up teasers, and I'm starting a podcast about that. And I'm curious what he thinks.
I will write it down, and thanks for the call. I will ask RJ at 11 o'clock this morning his thought on the world of teasers when it comes to the NFL. All right, we'll continue along. 800-919-3776, my buddy James in Spring Valley. What's up, James?
Hey, Dave, what's going on, man?
Why do you sound, like so mellow this morning?
Well, the Yankee game, and it took a lot out of me, and I'm a little bit nervous. I'm still nervous. And
come on. How much did it take out of you?
A lot.
How is that possible? You won the game by 6 runs.
Look, playoff baseball, anything can happen. I mean, if you look at what happened.
What do you do when it gets stressful?
Panic.
I mean, see, if last night took a lot out of you, when the game was completely decided in the last third of the game, what do you do?
You know
what
were
you like in 2001? I mean, what are you like in 2003 and 2004?
We don't talk about those titles. But what I want to ask is about Tanaka and 4 2/3 from Caxton. I didn't think he was great, but I didn't think he was awful either. And
yeah, he was fine.
If reasonable, Tanaka can give me 5 1/3 or maybe close to 6. I think that would be ideal because I know the Yankees are trigger happy with their bullpen, but we can't have your starters give me like 4 innings or 4 2/3. It can't.
But I think you're going to see more starts of 4 2/3 than you're going to see of 6 1/3. I mean, I absolutely think that's the case. You're going to see more games where the Yankees go to the bullpen before the starter is eligible for a win than not. But don't sit here and tell me that Paxton was anything but mediocre, because he wasn't. But you're fine. Don't tell me there's no pressure on the Yankees. This was supposed to be the season that they won the World Series. I mean, if you lose to the Twins, it's an epic fail. If you lose to Houston, it's not, but it's still disappointing. I think they're better, but I wouldn't be, you wouldn't be shocked if the Yankees won that series. And that's the one team. That to me, and I know the Dodgers are good, that's the only team that I look at and I say, they will beat the Yankees. Like, I feel, honestly, is better. I don't think the Dodgers are. I don't think the Cardinals are. I don't think the Braves are. I don't think the Nationals are. The Astros, that's the one team that I look at. I'm like, ugh, that's a scary team, a really scary team. Justin in Connecticut. Justin, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I got a couple points for you. First, I don't really understand the complaint with Stanton last night. I mean, first of all, he walks three times, like you said, and people are complaining that he swings 3-0 at a ball. Yeah, you shouldn't do that, but if he doesn't swing, he walks the fourth time, and people are already complaining about the three walks, but...
How could you complain about three walks? Your team wins 10-4, you walk three times, and you're complaining about it. I mean, listen, I don't love Stanton either, but you can't beat him up for last night.
Right, and the other point about it is, you know, Gleyber Torres is maybe your second best hitter the whole year behind LeMahieu, and if he's hitting behind Stanton and he walks three times, every single time Torres comes up, you know, there are men on base for him, which is great.
Well, what happened in the fifth?
Right.
I mean, Stanton walked, Torres comes up, rips a double down the line, and away you go.
Exactly. And something I was thinking about with the bullpen, you know, you said, and I agreed with you, that it was a little surprising they used Chapman last night, but I saw a stat towards the end of the regular season. There was something like Chapman, Britton, and Ottavino, the last 2 weeks of the season, threw a combined, like, 58 pitches. So maybe it was just something to... You know, get them in the game.
And I get that, but I mean, I got to figure that I'm going to need him tonight. And you didn't know it was going to only be 18. What happens if he threw 32 pitches last night? Now I'm going to come back with him again?
Right.
That's my only. Yeah, getting an inning of work is fine. But there were times last night where you're like, oh, God, I don't want him to, you know, go over 20 pitches. And he didn't. So you're fine. But that was my concern at one point during that ninth inning.
At the beginning of the game, before it started in the pregame, John Smoltz made a point where he said the key to the series he thought was going to be, you know, giving up solo home runs. And I thought it was amazing. That's sort of exactly how the game played out last night, where Minnesota hits three solo home runs, and it's sort of meaningless. And, you know, you could say it's the stadium, you could say it's the new baseball and whatever is part of it, but it's amazing how the game has changed to a point where giving up three solo home runs is kind of meaningless at this point.
Well, when you score 10, three, and thanks for the call, Justin, three solo home runs does not kill you. He was right on, Smoltz. I don't know if you heard, when Cruz came up and hit the home run, like literally 8 seconds before, he said, you know, look out for him as far as the home run is concerned, and then he hit it the other way. And enough, can we stop with Costas complaining about the length of the home run? With the Cruz home run, it's as if we've never seen this before. Like, the Yankees have the same advantages. They didn't move the fences in 15 feet for the Twins. The Yankees hit home runs that barely clear the wall. I don't love it either, but he sounded very upset with you know, the Twins home runs. They barely cleared the right field wall. Well, you know what? That's the Yankee Stadium. It's a hitter's park. If you can hit it over right field or to right field, there's a good chance it's going to go out. Let's go to Mike in Manhattan. Mike, you're on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, Mike. What's going on?
Good. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, but I just don't understand why these people are calling here, like, being nervous about tonight. Like, Paxton going only four innings. For me, I don't care who pitches.
Because people are babies, Mike. I mean, if there's one team that you should sit back and put your feet up and say, you know, we're going to be fine, it's the Yankees.
For all I know, I don't care if they use 27 pitches for every batter of the game. I really don't care as long as we win the game. You have the best bullpen in baseball. Why are you so upset about, you know, if you start to go four innings when you have this back end of the bullpen?
Because
so
you don't
strong.
Want to, I do understand that, though, a little bit. You don't want, I don't understand why you're nervous about the series, but you don't want to have your starter go 4 1/3 or 4 2/3 or 3 2/3 and have to get 15, 17, 18 outs every single night. Now, you don't want that.
Quick question about the Nationals. Now, they have used the Strasburg and Church of a lot. Do you think they have enough to get through this series with these two guys?
I mean, they have home field now. I think the Dodgers are great. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I don't still like the Dodgers. But That trio, thanks for the call, Mike, in a five game best of five is terrifying. Corbin, Scherzer, Strasburg. And at this point, Strasburg has to be considered an ace in the postseason. Because that's what he's done so far in his postseason career. He is sensational. And he was unbelievable last night. And when it was 3-1 and 3-2, I still thought the Dodgers were going to come back and win that game. But getting the fourth run from the Nats was big. And then they brought in Scherzer. And you're like, you know what? They're going to find a way. And they did. And good for them. I don't like the Nationals. I don't think most Mets fans do. But they did a good job in that game last night. All right. We'll get back to the Yankees. I promise you. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go with a little football frenzy. We'll do that next. You line them up anywhere you want to go. You want to go Giants question, Jets, Vikings, Raiders, games over in England, anywhere you want to go. We're going to go rapid fire, though. So 1-800-919-3776. Rapid fire. We'll do the frenzy. We'll get back to the Yankees. We'll do Stump Rothenberg. We got RJ Bell. But I promise lots of Yankees talk. We got to get into the Giants and the Jets as well. And what I have some points on the Jets. What are they doing? I mean, what are they doing? All your first team reps go to Sam Darnold this entire week? I mean, it's questionable to say the least. But we'll get into that a little bit later.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Yankees up 1-0 in that best of five series. Paxton last night was, right? I mean, you can't sit here and tell me Paxton was good. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you Paxton was awful. Paxton was, Yankees offensively did a great job. Twins bullpen was kind of what you figured a bullpen is going to be. See, the Yankees have this unbelievable advantage that if you go to the bullpens in the fifth inning or the fourth inning and you're tied, you're the Yankees, you're going to win. Now, not every single game, but I'll take my chances against anybody. Against the Twins, against the Astros, against the Dodgers, against the Nats. Give me bullpen game, advantage Yankees. And that's exactly what you saw last night. I mean, that was a bullpen game. It's 3-3, fifth inning, Yankees win 10-4. Because the Yankees bullpen is better than yours. Whoever it is. Houston, I tell you, 4-4 game, seventh inning, battle of the bullpens, you'll take it. Now, teams will start to do what Washington did last night, and that is go to a Max Scherzer for an inning, go to a starter that you trust for an inning instead of throwing on your off day, make that the off day. Because there's desperation now. And you're the Nationals, and you know that you're not going to win three games in a row. So how do I get from the seventh through the ninth? How do I get six outs? Well, you know what? I'll use Scherzer for an inning. So you might get to the point against the Astros where Gerrit Cole comes in relief. Or Verlander comes in for an inning and two-thirds or two innings in relief. But if this is a battle solely of the bullpens, Yankees have a tremendous advantage. Javier in the Bronx. Javier, welcome to the show on 98.7.
How you doing, Dave? Good morning, brother.
What's up, Javier?
Listen, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a tremendous Yankee fan. I love the Yankees. But I can understand, you see, there's a difference between, I think, there's people that hate the Yankees and there's people that hate Yankee fans. I can understand why there's people that hate Yankee fans because, man, do we whine. We whiners. This guy, Giancarlo Stanton, right? The guy, every time he comes up to bat, they want him to hit a home run. If he would have struck out yesterday, they would have been complaining. We would have been complaining, oh, my God, all he does is strike out.
I had people complaining to me this morning and on Twitter last night. No, the guy went 0-for-1 with three walks and people were complaining.
The guy was pitching junk. He didn't throw a strike. He said, I'm not swinging. And so you throw me a strike, I'm not going to swing. Guess what? He didn't throw a strike. He didn't swing. Now they're complaining about that too. Like, get off his back. History shows that he's going to come through. He's an ex-MVP. The guy is...
Well, honestly, Javier, and I agree with a lot of what you said. I don't know that history shows that he's going to come through. I don't know that I have complete confidence in
Giancarlo
Stanton. Well,
if you have to make a safe bet whether he's going to come through or he didn't, knowing the type of player that he is, you would think that you would put money that he wouldn't?
Well, what am I betting? I'm betting that at some point he gets a hit in a clutch spot. Yeah, I mean, at some point he's going to. Tell you this. If you said, Dave, you know what? You can have anybody up. Bases loaded, two outs. Needing a huge base hit, where would Stanton rank as far as the Yankees are concerned? Not that high. Javier, let me ask you, who would you rather have up in that situation, Stanton or LeMahieu?
Oh, I would rather have LeMahieu. But
okay,
you know
who would you rather have, Stanton or Judge?
I would rather have Judge. Until
Stanton
until,
or but Torres?
You know but listen to
but
me.
You know what, Javier, that's the point, is that he has not had that moment that the Yankees fans have fallen in love with yet.
Until it happens. It's like that old saying, nobody thinks it can happen to you until it does. It's going to happen.
Maybe it will.
He's never come through until he does. Then he'll come through. Just, you know, let the situation
You know what?
Happen.
You just hope it's not too late, or you just hope he comes through at some point in the not-so-distant future. Because you're right, the Yankees fans is completely teetering. They're completely, and thanks for the call, on edge about Stanton. They don't like him. Gets paid a ton of money. He's going to hit a ton of home runs in the regular season. But last year in the postseason, he was not good. Missed almost the entirety of the regular season this year. And the Yankees fan is saying, all right, well, you know what? Let's get the big hit. So they're on edge when it comes to him. And he's not your guy. He's not a homegrown Yankee where he's had a ton of, you know, moments where you look at it, you say, ah, that's right, the good old days with Giancarlo Stanton. He doesn't have that. Now, that could change. But I'll tell you what, if you offered me LeMahieu in a big spot, I'd take him. Judge in a big spot or Stanton, I'd take Judge. Gardner in a big spot or Stanton, I don't know. Encarnacion, I don't know. Torres, I'll take Torres. Gary Sanchez, he's been struggling, and so is Didi. Didi did not look good last night at all. But as far as your nine batters, where does he rank? Five? Well, that's not a ton of confidence. Judge is, by the way, just a great baseball player. You know, you didn't see a ton of Judge this year. And then when you did, he was not sensational. He was really good in that game last night. He's a terrific player. He really is. Rob in Middletown. Rob, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. First time, long time, big fan. I was on my way to the game last night. Felt like I took a blue chew last night on the way to the game.
You were that excited?
That excited. I mean, you could taste it. You could taste the atmosphere walking, and you really could.
There's something different, isn't there, about postseason sports in general, and especially postseason baseball, and especially
unbelievable.
When it comes to the Yankees.
The weather, the crisp air in the Bronx last night, it was like no other. But
it was cold last night, wasn't it, out at the stadium?
Absolutely freezing. Even in the stadium, I didn't bring a jacket. I was freezing cold, but I mean, once we got going, I warmed right up, so it was fine. But I just wanted to get your take on. So I was going in and I saw the lineup, and I was a little surprised that I saw Gardner batting third, and I didn't really like it at first. But once they got going and they went through it a couple of times, when he's batting third, that lineup just looks so much deeper. When you got Glaber going sixth, after you just dealt with Edwin and Stanton,
yeah,
then you got to do him and then Gary. It's unbelievable. Gio at nine. I never thought I was gonna be upset with the way the lineup was, but I really think Boone found something with that lineup, and I think they should roll with that for the rest of the playoffs, the way they just put put at bats together one after another. It was unbelievable.
Well, they'll mix and match it, right? I mean, as we move forward here, they'll mix and match a little bit, and tough lefties will, you know, get a different lineup, and you certainly won't see him hitting third against a really good lefty. But you're right. I mean, to see Gardner in that spot, and you trust him. I mean, he's been probably your most consistent player outside of LeMahieu for the entirety of the season, and they were tremendous last night.
Unbelievable. Also, Edwin just coming in, and I don't know what these people want from Stanton. I didn't want Stanton on him at first. I didn't want Stanton on the team at first, but, I mean, this guy, he walks three times last night. He's spitting on sliders away all night. The one thing you don't want is the strikeout, and he's taking those pitches that he normally strikes out on. I don't know what more you can ask from the guy. He did great.
I mean, to complain about him last night, and thanks for the call, and I understand why the Yankees fan is like, oh, come on, he needs the big hit. I do, because he gets paid a lot of money, and you brought him in here to get the big hit, and he really hasn't. He hasn't had that you know, where the clouds part and the ray of light shines down, and you hear the echoes, and Stanton comes up with a big hit in a huge spot. But last night he was fine. I mean, laid off the pitch. Torres had the big hit. You won 10-4. I mean, I understand you're quick to jump all over him, but cut him a little bit of slack. 1-800-919-3776. So we'll continue with the Yankees. I want to spend a minute on the Giants, Jets, and then we'll kind of take a melange of calls as we move forward here. Melange, great word, by the way. If you, Mish or Kai, if you ever want to use it, you're more than welcome to. It's not copyright or anything by me. The Giants, and I said it earlier, the Giants, I almost said we, I don't want to be that guy, but the Giants are in position now where they're playing a meaningful game week five. And come on, when the Bills won 28-14, you did not think that the Giants were going to be 2-2. And again, they won that game week three because of the missed field goal. True, fine. You know what? They still won the game. They still trailed 28-10. They still came all the way back. So there's excitement. And you like what you've seen from Daniel Jones, and you cannot deny that. Now, some people are crazy about it. Other people, I think people are a little more realistic, but you can't deny that what you've seen from him so far, you have to love. Because nothing phases him. It's almost eerie how Eli Manning-esque this kid is, isn't it? Nothing phases him. He gets picked off. He comes right back. He's not concerned about making a mistake. I mean, he got picked off twice right down the field, and they score at the end of the half. So, you know, there's a better defense tomorrow. No Barkley again. Gallman was serviceable. You played a dreadful team. The Redskins are awful. Awful. And you did what you should do. And that's great. And now we'll see what he's like against a better team. But I tell you what, the moment won't be too big for him. I promise you that. Jets for a quick minute. What are they doing? I mean, why are they? And I understand in a perfect world, you'd love for Darnold to be able to be your quarterback in that game tomorrow. But that was never going to happen. The guy was bedridden. He's had mono. I'm sure he's lost a lot of weight. He wasn't cleared to lift the weights until earlier this week, right? He wasn't practicing till this week. He's still not cleared medically that he can go play. The spleen, the blood test, whatever. He's not there. And you're 0-3, and you give him all the first-team reps. So, you know, people that said this was a smokescreen, no, it was not. The Jets thought he was going to be able to play. And you give Luke Falk no first-team reps? Look, Rick and I went out with the show this summer, and we sat with Adam Gase, and we really were taken by him. I mean, he's a really likable guy, and I know you say you see it in press conferences. I'm telling you, he's a likable guy. We went to commercial. We had him on for a good 20 minutes. It was a great conversation. Went to commercial, 6 minutes. He sat with us for the entire commercial break and just talked with us and gave us insight, and he's a really nice guy. And I think he's a smart football guy, but how he's handled this Jets team in the first quarter of the season leaves a lot to be desired. All right, so Jets, Giants, Yankees all on the table, 800-919-3776. And we might just get into the Mets a little bit as well, because the Mets, although not playing October baseball, certainly relevant in early October with what they have decided to do.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
RJ Bell just moments away to give us all the insight that he provides every single week. He's on three shows a week. He's on the K Show at 4:45 on Thursday. He's on Humpty Canty and Rothenberg noon on Friday, and then for the hour with me 11 till 12 on Saturday. Let's go to Ronnie in Queens. Ron, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, Dave? How's everything today?
Good, Ron. How are you, man?
All right. I'm a little frustrated. So I sat there and watched that press conference with Brody Van Wagenen, and all I kept saying to myself was that was the most agent answer of all times when it came to Edwin Diaz. So as a betting man, I say he'll probably be out within the next two seasons at most. He has to maintain what made him popular. It just made me sick.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, listening to him trying to spin anything positive about Edwin Diaz was quite frankly maddening and nauseating, Ron.
It really was. Take care, Dave.
All right, man. I mean, it was to sit there and do what you did in this conference call and asking questions and giving these agent answers. And listen, he sounds great, but how can you try and sit here and sell us that this guy is anything beyond bad? That's what he was this year. He was terrible, Edwin Diaz. Well, he saved 26 games, and that he was egregious. They couldn't keep him in the closer's role. Well, it's 30% of the games. I don't want my closer saving 30% of my wins. I'd like it to be much higher. All right, we're back in a moment. RJ Bell, that'll calm me down.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
We head out to Las Vegas. We bring in the wonderful RJ Bell. Good morning.
Hello, hello.
It sounds like you're just waking up at this moment.
You know something? I worked so hard this week getting ready for the show. Yeah, maybe I did. It is near 8 a.m. So yes, I was. I have not been up for hours. I agree.
Get a nice big cup of coffee and we got a lot.
Yeah,
to do
a little full sugar Mountain Dew maybe.
There you go. Would you not agree? I don't even know if you heard the opening, the rejoin. That I use the word melange. Melange is a sensational word.
Melange.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure I know what that means.
Oh, it's a mixture.
All right. Oh, okay.
A medley. Like a fruit melange. There would be orange and grapes.
Ooh.
And cantaloupe, right?
Does that have anything to do with menage?
No. Menage okay. is different. Melange is a medley or a mixture.
Because I thought I had heard that word now that I think about it.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I'm sure. Out in Vegas, you get to hear the menage quite a bit. All right. You're cute.
If anyone has a picture of Dave with a thesaurus this morning, I'll give you $1,000 for it.
I would match that. I would also give you $1,000. All right, let's get into the NFL. This is a very, very exciting Week 5.
You're asking if I agree with that?
I mean, come on. I mean, how could you not be excited? Week 5 is upon us.
Well,
we had a great game.
I love the idea, especially with the Packers-Cowboys, is it's really reasonable to love the Cowboys. I think it's reasonable to love the Packers. It really hinges on strength of schedule. And early in the year, often, and we'll talk about the games, strength of schedule, the way you assess it, is it kind of dictates your handicap.
So, I don't know if you saw this, Davante Adams, remember he left the game against the Eagles with that turf toe? He's out. So you've always said that, you know, even a great skill position player doesn't have a huge spread impact on the game. So let me ask you this, actually. Tyron Smith, the left tackle for the Cowboys, also not going to play in this game. Bigger impact, you know, spread-wise, Smith for the Cowboys or Adams for the Packers?
Now, listen, I'm not afraid to say something controversial, but I'd say this is about a wash. You'd say about a half point each way. Typically, linemen, there's not a ton of them on the offensive line that move the line, but I would say the Cowboys left tackle is one. And wide receiver, half point, unless you're really good. Remember, let's use Barkley as kind of a gauge. There's about five or six players, other than quarterbacks in the NFL, worth a point and a half. So three half points, point and a half. Then you've got maybe 20 or so worth a point. Less than one per team, and then you've got, you know, more worth a half point, but not that many more. You know, maybe 50 or 60 worth a half a point. So on average, you're going to have only about three players per team other than the quarterback that move the needle at all, with the exception of cluster injuries, where if you have multiple players at the same position group, even if none of them by themselves is worth a half point, it can be worth a half or more.
If three offensive linemen were out for the Cowboys tomorrow, that would impact the spread.
Gigantically. Because, and you've seen it, I mean, as a fan, right, is when it's one thing to go first to second string. Because what we find out is a lot of these second stringers are about as good as the first stringers. It's just a matter of professional athletes, and this one's a little better. But if you have to go off the street, you know, for that third guy, and then their backup is off the street, and we see that sometimes. Oh, man, is it a big, big deal.
All right, so I know you're going to give us your second best play of the weekend by the end of this segment, your first play of the weekend in our last segment to kind of attract everyone for the entire hour. But let's start with that Cowboys-Packers game. If I had to, I like the Cowboys here. I know you said the sharp money's on the Packers, but, you know, Cowboys given, 3.5 at home? I think they're the better team, probably. I was unimpressed with Green Bay last time out in that game to the Eagles, and Cowboys have something to prove after they laid an egg on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I think so, and I really do think it's the driver, or I think it gets back to that question, and it really drives the conversation. Do you look at the Cowboys and you say, this team's 3-1, And this team could have won that game in New Orleans. They didn't. Excusable loss, otherwise domination, right? That's one perspective. The other perspective is the Miami Dolphins, the Giants without Eli, and the Redskins. Maybe the three worst teams right up there for sure. And then with Teddy Bridgewater, who's not very good at all at this point, you lose? Oh, you must be an average team. So where do you come down on that one?
I think the Cowboys are probably not as great as they looked in the first 3 weeks. Not as bad as I think the Cowboys are good. I don't think they're a special team. I think the quarterback lacks a lot. I think their running back is elite. I think they can I'm being honest with you. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. I think they're good. I think they'll probably win the division with 10 or 11 games, and I think they fall somewhere in the middle of being, you know, great and bad.
But, I mean, I guess that's the ultimate question, right, is most teams are not as good as the most optimistic view and not as bad as the most pessimistic. But
sure.
Kind of refining that a little bit is what this is all about. 1 to 32, where do you put the Cowboys?
8.
Okay, so you're more pessimistic than most, I'd have to say. So who is clearly better in the NFC to you?
In the NFC, clearly better? I don't know that anyone...
Well, even make him a one-point favorite on a neutral. That's clearly better.
I think New Orleans is when they're
currently?
I don't know that anyone's clearly better.
Okay, so how can you be the eighth best team and no one's better than you in your conference?
Well, I don't know that no one's better. You said clearly better. I mean, I think there's five teams that could be better on any given day.
Let's just say this. If there was a simulation of 10,000 games and it was on neutral field and the Cowboys are playing all the NFC teams, who would you take ahead of them to win the most games?
I think the Eagles are right there.
At the current injury situation for the Eagles?
I think the Eagles are right there. Yeah,
okay.
I think the Eagles are a good team. I think the Saints are right there. I think the Rams are right there. I think the Bears are right there. I think the Packers are right there. I don't think the Cowboys are a special team by any stretch. They're
no,
good.
No. But I guess my point is, right now, if you have a team, you know, home field's 3 in the NFL, right? So let's say the game is in Dallas and the line's 3.5. That is the betting market saying Dallas is clearly better by a smidge, but clearly than Green Bay. The line is not above 3 unless Dallas is considered to be better. So do you think Dallas is better than Green Bay?
Do I think that? No, I think it's a coin flip. I think Dallas.
Then you got to love 3.5 then.
I do like Dallas in this game.
No. You got to love Green Bay plus 3.5.
Why?
Because if the home field is 3.
Right.
And the line's 3.5, Dallas is more expensive.
So you're saying basically it's a pick'em on a neutral field.
No, I'm saying it's not a pick'em. It'd be 3 if it was a pick'em.
All right, so the Cowboys would be favored by 0.5, which isn't that really in theory a pick'em though?
Yeah, but the difference, and you kind of stumbled here upon an interesting point. 3 is such a key number in the NFL, meaning so many games fall 3, it's the most common margin of victory, that whenever they go off a 3 with the home field, it's a sign that they're clearly better. Because otherwise, they would make it, let's say, 3 minus 115. And the other side would be 3 minus 105. So there's ways to adjust the money line. So, but this, trust me, as a guy who knows a little about the spread, if it's 3.5, the home team is considered to be clearly better.
So are you going to tell me, and you know, obviously this is your specialty, that the Cowboys would be 3.5-point favorite or better against everybody in the NFC?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm asking you, because when you said 8th, I felt like you were way low of the market.
Here's my issue. I think they're a good team all around. I don't trust their quarterback in a big spot at all.
And Dave, I got to say this, and I say this actually as a compliment. You rarely do this, but you kind of, it's this fuzzy thinking. I mean, you're kind of giving, and let me make my case quickly because I'm being serious. You're explaining kind of the offshoot of your conclusion, but the conclusion is every team has pros and cons, right? Every team has questions. But when you add it all up and you say Dallas is 8th, that says that there's 7 teams better. And I'm wondering which of the NFC teams would be ahead of them on the Dave Rothenberg Dallas is 8th.
I think New Orleans is better than Dallas.
But you do realize that you can't think that today with Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, I don't think it with Bridgewater.
So I'm saying today.
They just beat them with Teddy Bridgewater.
Well,
quarterback stunk. They just beat them with Bridgewater.
But I don't think but you do remember the line in that game was Dallas 2.5.
Right.
Which
what would it have been if Breeze was the quarterback?
I think it's a good 6 point. I think it was
Saints
Breeze.
Saints by 4, which means the Saints are clearly better then.
Yes. I think that's a fair way to say.
On a neutral field, they're saying the Saints are clearly better.
Yes, with Breeze, I think so by a smidge. Yep.
Okay. On a neutral field, I think the Eagles are looking the Cowboys right in the face. Like it's a pick 'em game.
Okay. And so not clearly better. So you're really saying Dallas is, except for Kansas City and New England, Dallas is pretty much a half point above.
Yeah, I think they're in that second tier where there's probably 5 to 7 teams in the NFL who are right there in that second tier.
Now, what's fascinating is who's the third best team in the AFC? So KC, New England, because I would make the case there can be upwards of 8 or 9 NFC teams right there before the third.
I would have said Baltimore.
Exactly.
But it's hard to say that now.
Yep. Two games in a row they've given up 500 plus yards of defense.
Yeah, no, it's hard. But 2 weeks ago, I would have said it was 3 teams. And it changes so quickly that clearly they're not on that plane. The third best team? Houston maybe, but they were awful last week.
I mean, think about it. Houston's laying 4 points right now, which is just a smidge better than home field. They're at home to Atlanta. And, oh, by the way, Atlanta is 0-13 against the spread against AFC teams. Now, you might say, oh, that feels arbitrary. Well, what is the AFC about? Or out of conference, let's say, is the best way to say it, is a sign of you only play them every 4 years. So you got a game plan anew, right? It's not the same thing every year. And Quinn apparently really struggles in that spot. And they're only 4-point dogs against Houston. Not a lot of love for Houston with
no,
the market.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. Cleveland? But they were done 2 weeks. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe the Chargers?
Ooh, the current.
So you tell me, what's the answer?
To be honest, I still think you got to think the Ravens are that team. And that shows you how weak the AFC is.
So I'm not crazy in what I was giving you.
No, but
I feel like you're very down on me today.
No, Dave. I'm actually bringing up some interesting point. I thought the whole Dallas and 8th and all that was a little off, but generally...
I am not sold on Dallas by any stretch.
Yeah, but generally, I'm saying, isn't it fascinating that clearly the two best teams, who in their right mind would think any NFC team is better than New England or Kansas City? Nobody.
No one.
And then to think that the potentially the next 6, 7, 8 best teams maybe are in the NFC, that's an anomaly. I mean, that's something, that's a curiosity. It's like, wow, you know.
All right, here's what we got to do, my friend. We got to line people up for 11 words or less. We're still continuing with this, right?
Absolutely.
All right, 800-919-3776. You go any question you want with RJ, but it's got to be 11 words or less. And now the floor is yours. Quickly, you got to give us your second best play of the week.
Oh, this is interesting. Because I like to do, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a little contrarian here. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. So here's the thing. I can lay 5.5 in this game.
Or 4.5 if you're Canty.
Oh, well, again, Canty does what Canty does what he wants. Now, apparently. Now, what I will say is that my thinking here is Cousins and all the talk about how bad he is, it really is talk about playing, you know, really good teams and primetime games, oftentimes other than 1 o'clock Eastern. You know, one of our guys has come up with a theory. It's really not the TV lights and all that, or the big games, or the big opponents. It's the non-1 o'clock games, because Cousins, there's an article out there, and I haven't read it yet, from about 2 years ago, that he was really, really dependent on routine, like in an extreme way. And when he gets out of his routine, it's a big problem. I don't know why. I just know this is the kind of game Cousins does well in, right? And it's a 1 o'clock Eastern start. Giants aren't great. And I'll be honest, if I look at Daniel Jones, I have a ton of optimism midterm, long term. If I were a Giants fan, I'd be excited. No doubt.
Nice.
But Yes, but if you look at the stats purely, he's right now behind Minshew and also behind Allen from Carolina statistically. Doesn't mean he's bad. It just means he's not as exciting currently in the moment as you might think. Barkley obviously still out. Minnesota -5.5, first best bet.
Unless you can't, then it's 4.5, which means you'd love it even more.
Like I said, I liked his pick.
All right. 11 words or less. 800-919-3776. He gave you his second best pick of the week. Minnesota -4.5, 5, even up to 5.5. He'll give you his best pick later on in the show. But let's play 11 words or less. Any question you have for RJ, bring it. Just make it 11 words or less. 800-919-3776. We roll along on a Saturday, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
All right, Rothenberg and Bell with you, 98.7 ESPN. See what we do for you? The theme of the show is all Vegas when you're on.
Well, I love it. I mean, if you can somehow be connected to Frank, you can't do better.
This is what we do for you because we think Vegas, Vegas' biggest star ever, Frank, you.
Yeah,
combination.
That's what I was going to say is Frank's got to be ahead, I think.
Of you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's narrow, but I would still give it to Frank.
You know what's sad is like even to like a 18-year-old today, Frank, you know, that was Frank was dead before he was born. It's like Frank still. In fact, it's not sad because Frank is so freaking cool. I mean, it's just a fact. You ever hear the story about Mia Farrow and him and how they began?
Tell me the story. All I know is that JFK, who was pretty cool in his own right, idolized Frank Sinatra.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he just wanted to be around Frank. Though yeah. Joe Kennedy, the dad, kind of understood what Frank was about, and he was pretty tough on him. But he understood Frank wanted to be connected to power. So real quick, so Sinatra's doing a movie, and Mia Farrow is, you know, 19, 20, you know, quite young at the time. Sinatra's, I think, in his almost 40, maybe. And he just sees her hanging around the set, because she's taping, I think it was Peyton Place was the show she was on mm-hmm. back in the 60s. And then one time he's walking by, like for the 20th time, he's like, hey, we're heading up to Palm Springs. You want to come hang out? She goes, oh, well, you know, I got to tape for another 3 hours. And he goes, oh, no worries. I'll send the plane back. And so they fly up. Send the plane back. It's waiting on her. Fly her up. They end up getting married. And, you know, they spend, you know, that time together. And then she wanted to take Rosemary's Baby, right? Which was one of her big movies.
Scary movie, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
Terrifying.
You know, it's funny. My mom's name is Rosemary, and she was pregnant with me when that movie came out.
And did she watch it?
Yes.
That was a big mistake.
Maybe that explains some stuff.
But it explains a lot.
Yes. But finally, then, Frank got mad at her for taking the movie, never spoke to her in person again when she decided to take it, divorced her by, you know, lawyers, never spoke to her again.
How about that?
Frank was tough. Let's just say, not in a good way, I think, oftentimes.
All right. So 11 words or less, which is very easy. It's the opposite of Sinatra. It's not tough. All you have to do is ask any question you'd like in 11 words or less. We're going to do that in 35 seconds. I have one quick question for you prior to that. Baseball playoffs going on. Yankees, of course, 5 o'clock today. Catch the game on 10:50 a.m. ESPN. Anything move the needle for you in the baseball postseason?
You mean so far from what I've seen?
Just anything as far as wagering on the baseball playoffs.
Here's what you need to know. The advanced math guys, not me that took 6 math classes, which is, you know, pretty good in college, but rather the PhDs. They've sat there and tried to figure out what is predictive from the regular season to the playoffs. Is it batting average? Is it, you know, advanced metrics like WAR or whatever? No one can figure it out. So thus, if it feels like a crapshoot, play the dogs.
Uh-huh.
Not in any given game so much, but over the course of series, over the course of who's going to win it, you know, World Series futures, go with not blindly, but if there's a dog you like, grab on, because the whole assumption one team's got a better chance to win than another, really history says no.
All right, 11 words or less. Are you going to be long-winded or are you going to be quick with your answers?
I'm going to be like a circle.
All right.
Luke, you can't take anything away or add anything and still be the same.
Beautiful. Luke and Rockaway, 11 words or less.
AFC North, who takes it? Cleveland, Baltimore, or Pittsburgh?
He did like a Dylan-esque delay there. Or Pittsburgh.
You know what he said? He sounded like he thought, like, I'm better than you. Like,
No. This is what happens, though. When people have to refine to 11 words or less, one, it's always succinct. But two, if they have a couple extra words, they like to have fun with them. I love it.
But he paused, hesitated, and then went with it. All right.
Yeah.
AFC North. Hmm. It's not Pittsburgh.
I agree they're not the favorite. I tell you this. I mean, how much of it? Let me ask you this. What odds would you have to get? Would you take 6-1 on Pittsburgh winning the division?
Would I wager on it?
Yeah, I mean, like, no. A modest amount.
No. I don't think I'd give them almost no chance to win the division.
So you give me 15-1?
No, I'm not going to give you 15-1.
Well, almost no chance at 7%.
Well, you say I'm not going from 6. I'm not giving you 150% of what you asked for. I'd give you 10-1.
Oh, you give me 10-1.
I'd give you 10-1.
God, I don't want to. I mean, because it's kind of a weird bet. But let's just say this: I would bet that. Okay, if you want to get me off air, I would bet that. What I'll say is this: I think all the teams are flawed. Baltimore's defense is not just not good; it's bad. Right now, is that going to change? I don't know.
Shocking! It used to be so good.
Yeah, but if you think about it, they've given up. Mosley. I mean, you've seen it, or at least you saw it the first game.
Well,
you saw it
in the first game with the Jets. When he was in, they were great. Their defense. When he was out, they fell apart.
What's the prognosis on him?
He's not going to play again this week.
And it's a hamstring.
It's a groin, I believe.
Isn't that the same thing?
No.
Really?
No. You think the hamstring and the groin is the same injury?
You know, I remember the old Lou Holtz line. There was a fullback ran a 4.6 and said it had a hamstring pull. He goes, you're not fast enough to have a hamstring pull. So I don't think I ever was fast enough to quite know exactly where. A hamstring's right. I guess it's right behind your leg, right?
Yeah.
And the hammy's a little more up underneath. Or, I'm sorry, the groin's a little more up underneath.
Yeah. The groin is up.
It's like 3 inches apart.
All right, but it's not the same thing. Is the eye and the nose the same thing?
You know, I can see why you were unliked as a child. Because it's like you attach yourself to this useless knowledge unless you're a doctor.
I think most people out there are pretty confident that the hamstring and the groin are two completely separate pieces of the body.
But it's if you told people hamstring, groin, are you more about it's in the same general area or there's a real distinction of one and the other? I think a vast majority of people are going to say, right back there.
I don't think you give people enough credit. I think people know.
No, I'm saying I'd be in that group too.
All right. Well, you'd be wrong as well. So here's what we got to do. I mean, you're so long-winded. I mean, the circle is like, it's like a globe with you.
I don't even know. That's pretty funny. Let's just say this. I would take the Browns, but I don't like the Browns as a team in general, but I think it's a weak division at this point.
I agree with you. I would take the Ravens, and I have no confidence in that as well. So we got through one 11 words or less question. One in that segment.
That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, who's better than us? We're going to try to take more than one in a moment. It's Rothenberg and Bell with you, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I mean, this is just so good. I almost forgot we were doing a show. I just wanted to listen to Frank the whole time.
I was getting some chills. There was times I think you knew I bit off more than I could chew. The great line there is, I think you knew. Like, Sinatra's so aware that he was constantly being, you know, every move was being watched.
Shocking that he didn't use the word melange anywhere in the song.
Yeah, well, that I think it's Paul Anka wrote that one, if I'm not mistaken. But for Frank,
I believe you are correct.
Now that's knowledge that matters.
That's great knowledge. By the way, the RJ Bell segment with knowledge that matters on the Dave Rothenberg Show, 98.7 ESPN, powered by Sportsbook 360 at Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort has a new way to play at Sportsbook 360. Now open 7 days a week. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. Playtime elevated. Gambling problem. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Must be 21 or over to gamble.
Quick Sinatra story.
Okay? 11 words or less. Rapid fire.
Give me 40 seconds.
Ready to go?
Give me 40 seconds. This is a great story.
I'll give you
37. All right, here it is.
37 seconds. Go.
All right. So the great song, It Was a Very Good Year. Any Sinatra fan knows. It literally was written like 5 or 6 years before, and was done by one band and it was a total non-hit, you know, not a hit at all. Sinatra's driving through the desert, heading somewhere in California, hears it, and says, oh my gosh, this is an undiscovered gem. Literally went, recorded it, one of his great songs, and if he hadn't just been driving, listening to the radio, he would have, I mean, that song was not being discussed, it wasn't being considered by anybody, and one of the
great. He took it as his own and turned it into what it was.
Oh, yes.
All right. Beautiful story. 11 words or less. Warren, Montclair, go.
Well, you guys answered already. Monday
ahead,
night.
What's so funny? What's 11 words or less, Warren?
I think he left. I think so he said
think
you guys answered. He said we answered it already.
We answered Monday night, though? We didn't answer Monday night.
Oh, is that what he was asking for? Well, let me. I like Monday night.
I think that's where he was going.
Let me give you the Monday night because I like this one. I guess because I said I didn't like the Browns, he might have taken that to be just this game instead of generally.
I don't know what he took, but why don't you take the floor?
Yeah, because remember we were taking the AFC North, and I really like the 49ers in this game, which kind of speaks to not liking the Browns. And the reason is this is an undefeated team off a bye. They tend to play well because it focuses the mind during the bye. What was even better is that they won a game, the most recent one for them, the 49ers, that they didn't play very well, right? Bunch of turnovers.
They were
against
terrible against Pittsburgh.
But they still won. So it's the best of both worlds. You got momentum, but you also have the coach being able to scream and point and get your attention. On the other hand, give the Browns credit, but really how good are the Ravens? And that's the question. And if you dig even deeper, and I've just started doing this in the last 2 years, looking at the 11 personnel, the 12 personnel, that kind of stuff, is Cleveland last year really played a lot of 12, a bigger, you know, bigger offensive team. And this year they weren't doing hardly any of that. And they came out and played a ton of 12, no pun intended, against Baltimore, which was a surprise. So to me, whenever there's a surprise, I'm going to kind of caveat that win a little bit. So net-net, I think the Browns aren't as good as people think. I think the 49ers are a little bit better. Final point, of all the games this season, this could be the one the Browns is least up for. Think about it. They had opening game. Then they had Monday night against the Jets. It was the first Monday night game, right? You're going to be more excited with that. You had the Baltimore in division, and you had hosting the Rams inverted in order there. Wow, that was on Sunday night. This Monday night game might be the least motivational spot for Cleveland, and you know the 49ers are ready to go because they're off a bye. 49ers, one of my top three or four picks, one of our super contest picks.
Oh, nice. All right. We have people lined up, desperate to do this, but we got to go quick if we're going to get to all of the 11.
Have you heard about scarcity, Dave? Keep them wanting more.
Lex in Queens. Lex, you're on 11 words or less.
Best two Moneyline underdog picks. Let's go Yankees.
Oh, look at that. Look what he did there. I mean, he's toying with us. All right, best two money line picks.
Oh, my gosh. You know, if it's just picks, I'm not sure. I mean, they could text them in. Money line. I'm going to – well, see, I don't want to step on my best bet, but let's see here. I'll give you – let's do this. I'm going to give you one dog I think that has a real chance to win the game. I'm going to keep this – I'm going to change his 11 words here. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. People are going to be surprised by that, but Tampa Bay's defense is good. Or a minimum.
Teddy Bridgewater is dreadful.
Oh man, I mean, I've been saying it. You know how many passes he's completed more than 20 yards in the air?
Zero.
So we did this blending of advanced analytics, QBR, 538, Pro Football Focus, one other. And Teddy is 34 as a quarterback out of 42. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's bad. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He is bad right now. And the fact that they're winning in spite of him is a pretty good job by Sean Payton and that staff. Angelo, Staten Island, you're up on 11 words or less, Angelo.
Why are Jets Giants both on at 1 o'clock when CBS's 4 o'clock game?
Well, that's all right. First of all, you're way over 11 words. I mean, you're doubling down. You're like 22 words, and that's not – I mean – because they want the Cowboys-Packers game to stand alone at 4 o'clock is the reason. And two 4 o'clock games here in New York is awful. Edwin in the car, 11 words or less, Edwin.
Does Detroit make the playoffs this year? Way, way under.
Love it. I would say certainly they're an underdog. But I would make the case, is this the best, assuming Detroit's the fourth best team in the NFC North, meaning they're not one, two, or three, is this the best fourth team in a division we've seen in memory?
Yeah, probably so. And that's a hell of a division, that NFC North.
I mean, it might be the best division we've seen.
It's terrific. It really is.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.